It sure is. And our guest, Douglas Elwell, as we talk about Planet X, do you think there's one out there? Check in with us. You never know. Could this also be a brown dwarf, Doug?
Yeah, that is called the Nemesis Theory. It's also a valid scientific theory. I don't hold to it because I don't think the... I think we would have seen a brown dwarf that would have been exceptionally large. It would have had a very high degree of gravity, which could be detectable. When we sent the Pioneer probes out, I guess it was during the 70s, or it was the 70s, part of the reason we sent them out to the edge of the solar system was to look for Planet X. And what they were going to do was we were going to watch their signals. If there's a difference in the signal trajectory, we could use that to calculate gravitational influences of any additional planets outside of planet Neptune. We didn't find anything. And if there were a brown dwarf out there somewhere, it would have shown up, you know, rather obviously, but there was nothing. Brown dwarf is an interesting idea, but if it came close to our solar system, you wouldn't have things like Uranus on its side and Neptune having a retrograde moon and things like that. You'd have basically fragmented planets or planets that are just thrown out of the solar system entirely. It wouldn't be like another planet which would have influenced the other planets, like a billiard ball hitting other billiard balls. It would be like dropping a wrecking ball on a pool table. It would be totally obliterated. Brown dwarf would be enormous, and its gravitational pull would be so huge that planet Uranus probably have been thrown out of the solar system altogether if it interacted with the brown dwarf. So I tend not to agree with that because there's really no evidence for it.
What I find fascinating, though, is the fact that ancients talked about this much more than we do today. I mean, if it wasn't for people like you and, you know, folks who have done some research on this, nobody would know anything about this because we're not getting it from science.
Well, science actually... When I took a class in undergrad in astronomy, there is actually a substantial portion talking about Planet X and the search for Planet X in there. It's just a question of people not learning about it or not caring or not understanding the implications of such a planet existing. And the ancients understood the implications. It was part of their history and their culture and had been panned out for thousands of years as part of their core religion and their creation myth. Their creation myth was the center of their world, and everything kind of revolved around it. Their New Year's festivals, which are a combination of Times Square, a play, and the Super Bowl, all rolled into one. The New Year's, for example, was acted out as part of an elaborate ritual, and there were actual battles between these different deities and so forth. That was the center of their belief system, but now. In the secular culture, we don't care about such things anymore. So unless it's a direct threat for us, we don't really care about it anymore.
All right, let's take some calls here for you, Doug, while we're chatting with folks. Robert in Grafton, North Dakota. There you go. Hey, Robert, welcome to the show.
Hi, guys. How you doing? It's an awesome show, George.
Thanks.
Awesome show. Listen, I called last week a little bit, was talking about the end times, and I've done a lot of research like your guest here, Doug. I also wanted to know if Jesus was going to return in my lifetime, and you know, you look at Israel and the prophecies about how right now they're surrounded by their enemies. And also Matthew 24, verse 7, where he talks about earthquakes in diverse places, and we're having them all over the place. And I was just wondering what you thought about the Antichrist and how he plays a part in this as well.
Well, does he, Doug?
Well, it does say the Antichrist in the book of Daniel will raise his voice against those who dwell in heaven, which is interesting because... this Planet X theory, if it's true, as Planet X approaches, it would be necessary to rally the troops to oppose its coming. The implication being that if it does precede Jesus' second coming, that Jesus will be right behind it with his armies. And so the Antichrist would need to rally the troops and to oppose it. And so Planet X is most likely, in my opinion, God's primary weapon against the Antichrist and the forces of the beast and the beast kingdom that will control the earth in the end times. In fact, in my opinion, Planet X is the true secret behind the book of Revelation and the secret that will be revealed in the end times as God's primary weapon that he uses against his enemy, the dragon.
So you take a very spiritual approach to this with Planet X.
Well, it is. To me, it's integrally tied up with the Bible. It's the core concept behind the Bible, and it's reflected throughout the Bible. I actually had one person send me an email after he'd read my book, and he said, you know, there's one thing you missed, which was obvious, and he was right. You talk about how God used a huge stone to divide heaven and earth into two pieces in Genesis 1:1, because the word create in Genesis 1:1 is actually to cut. So it says that God literally cut something into two pieces, being heaven and earth, just like it's described in Nehemiah Elish, where Marduk divided Tiamat into two pieces. One he set up as heaven, the other as earth. But I lost my train of thought. This process will be repeated when God uses Planet X to attack Earth once more as part of a repeated cycle of this ongoing war against the dragon.
The Book of Revelation, does it mention a Planet X in so many words?
It doesn't actually say Planet X, but it does refer to the throne of God in Revelation 4. And after I've been studying Nehemiah Elish and other related ancient Near Eastern texts, when I was doing the final chapter and looking in the Book of Revelation to references to Planet X, I realized that the description of Jesus appearing on his throne in heaven in Revelation 4 sounded remarkably similar to the description of Marduk getting arrayed for battle against Tiamat. Marduk had, most notably, a group of seven winds and an additional group of four winds, which he used as weapons against Tiamat. And Jesus also is described as having a group of four beasts and another group of seven archangels surrounding him. And a grouping of four and that grouping of seven stood out to me. And also the description of the long, white, flowing hair, which also shows up in the Book of Daniel, and the description of the Ancient of Days having this long, white, flowing hair, sounds very much like a comet tail. And indeed, the word comet in Greek literally means long, white hair. So I believe that's what...
But there's that symbolism again.
Yes, the symbolism being that Revelation 4 is actually describing Planet X and its approach again. Jesus alluded to it previously in chapter 2, saying, I am the bright and morning star. This he was leading into it. This is the secret he's giving hints towards. This planet is returning, and I'm going to be returning with it. And it's going to be used by me to destroy my enemies on Earth.
Let's go to Jim at Santa Monica, California, first-time caller. Hi, Jim. Good morning.
Hi. How you doing?
Good.
What I want to say, it's the government's biggest secret. Planet X has already run the sun. It already came. It comes every 3,600 years. Biblically, the last time it was here was when Moses ran, and two times is when Noah took off. But when it came approximately within the tsunami in 2003, it came like a dead battery. So right now it's around the sun. It's getting charged up, and it's going to leave at 2012. So when it leaves, that's when it's going to do all the shifting. That's what's causing Japan, the earthquakes. But it's the government's biggest secret right now. They can't say anything because it'll cause the public panic.
Well, there's no doubt there would be panic. But do you think government, Jim, even really knows it exists?
Yeah, you go to ZetaTalk.com, they got thousands of photos on it. They can't say nothing about it. They got to hide it because it's going to cause a panic. And I'm in contact with four races, the Palladians, Reptilians, the Greys, and the Little Green Men. And it's just like, if you want to know what happened to World Trade Center number 7, they get involved, they go in there, they disintegrated that to the Space Shuttle Columbia, they downed that, to the Fukushima nuclear power plants, they were involved in blowing those up. So the way he's talking about is right as far as these aliens coming down. And I'm trying to work on this, but right now I'm having funding problems. But I'm trying to piece it all together. And I more or less pieced it together because every 3,600 years it comes around. I mean, you could even go back to the dinosaurs, how the tsunami pushed them into their little the pits in Colorado, the Salt Lakes. It's going to shift, and it's cut the Grand Canyon, and it's going to happen again. And what he made sense was he talked about Neptune, how it shifts on its side. So when it comes by, when it's getting charged up right now, so when it comes by,
It flips
that's
things.
That's going to happen to Earth. It's going to shift.
Yes. And what about what about the asteroid belt? Doug, let's talk with you about that. You said there's that possibility it'll disrupt the asteroids in the asteroid belt and fling them all over the place.
Yeah, every time it comes through, it causes great disruption because it's a disruptor. It changes things. Whenever it comes through, the asteroids get thrown all over the place like buckshot, and Earth will almost certainly get hit by many of them. And I suspect this is what causes many of the issues at the seals, the judgments described in the book of Revelation. Actually go into depth into that, talking about how many of the seals, actually the trumpets, sound very much like meteors and comets basically coming down and striking the Earth and having various effects. So I think that one of the reasons, one of the proofs that Planet X is central to the book of Revelation is many of the things that happen in the book of Revelation seem to be meteoric and astral in character, not just wars and rumors of wars, but actual meteorites and asteroids and comets striking the Earth.
Do you believe that Planet X had a lot to do with biblical prophetic material?
I do think that. It shows up in Isaiah in some points, like I mentioned, the battle between God and the dragon in the end times. The book of Revelation I found to be particularly interesting because not only does it show up, as it alluded to in both chapters 2 and 22 at the beginning and end of the book, when Jesus refers to himself as the bright and morning star, but also there's a description of a mighty angel in Revelation 10 standing between heaven and earth, which I think is also another reference to Planet X. And also I even describe how if Planet X came close enough to Earth, which it wouldn't now, according to the current paradigm, where it only comes as close to the asteroid belt. But if it, for example, interacted with Jupiter on its way in, its orbit might be sufficiently altered, so it would come close to Earth once more, close enough to form what is called a plasma torus, which you can see between the planet Jupiter and its moon Io, which is actually a torus of energy that passes between the poles of both bodies. If so, if that came close enough to Earth, it would basically look like there were these two kind of sickles that appear between the poles of both Earth and Planet X. And this maybe was described in, I think it's Revelation 14, where there's a great angel that comes down with a sickle in his hand and reaps the harvest of the Earth. This might be a description of how Planet X passes close in this arc of electricity, this plasma torus, passes between the two planets. Oh, that was a particularly interesting idea because that would explain what they were talking about, a sickle. And in order to be really judged, to really cause damage to Earth, Planet X would have to come pretty close to Earth, closer than it has in the past. So I suspect that there will be a substantial orbital shift in its orbit as it comes in this time. It'll come close enough to Earth this time to cause massive destruction, much more so than in the past.
How much accuracy do you think Zechariah Sitchin's and his work would be compared to things that some of the other ancient texts would show?
I think Sitchin did actually a pretty good job considering that he wasn't an astronomer by trade. I looked at his stuff. And he did a pretty good job. I'm not an astronomer by trade either, but I have studied somewhat. It was more of a hobby for a long time and still is. His grasp of, astrophysics seemed to be fair, good enough to understand that gravitational interactions between planets would cause various different effects. For example, I thought his idea that as the planet X, planet Marduk, passed by the outer planets, it would have grabbed. Excuse me.
Sure. Cough in the phone. Cough away from the phone, Doug. From the phone.
it would have grabbed material away from the outer planets and then taken it into its orbit, forming these windy satellites. And that's exactly what we have in MLH. We have what are called these groups of winds, which it actually says were given to him by his fathers. Which are described as the outer planets. So if Planet X did indeed interact with these outer planets, it would have taken material from these outer planets, which are largely gaseous in nature, and those materials would have formed satellites that would have gone into orbit around Planet X. So that describing these groups of winds surrounding this planet, which are basically swirling balls of gas that it grabbed from Uranus and Neptune, and possibly Jupiter and Saturn, we don't know, was actually a very accurate way of describing a gaseous satellite, a wind, because it's basically literally made of air, just like wind.
Let's go to Cabot, Arkansas. Jim's with us on the wildcard line. Hey, Jim, go ahead.
Oh, George, great show. That's pretty funny. Cough away from the phone.
Yeah.
Hey, everything your guest says makes a lot of sense to me. It's possible that could happen. My question is, do you believe that we all know that Jesus Christ is going to return, but do you believe before he returns, what they call Antichrist, or what I would call Satan, could show up claiming to be Jesus Christ?
A false prophet, so to speak.
Oh, yeah, the false prophet, Satan himself, to deceive the whole world.
Well, you know, I think, yes, if you believe that, that's probably entirely true, if you believe that. Doug, how many people do believe that?
Well, that's basically what the Bible says. So if you're a Christian, you believe in the Word of God, that's probably going to be your opinion. Exactly what form you'll take is a question. Generally speaking, probably the Antichrist will be head of a world system that will be in opposition to God. And based on our understanding of the Planet X paradigm, he'll be effectively marshaling the forces of Satan to oppose the second coming, which will, you know, end up being a clashing of two armies. That is what Armageddon is. It's the heavenly army attacking the earthly army of the Antichrist. And the Antichrist's army, of course, being destroyed, because it would appear that, in my opinion, that when Planet X come close enough to Earth, there'll be an arc of lightning passing between the two planets, and whoever got in between that lightning and the ground would be annihilated. I suspect that's what when Jesus attacked with the sword of his mouth, that's what it's talking about. It's this lightning coming from the planet, and just it might be miles and miles wide of plasma arc, which could just literally disintegrate anything in its path. And that would be a very effective way of destroying any army. So I think the Planet X paradigm is effectively central to the Battle of Armageddon as well. In fact, I believe it's God's primary.
Have you seen some pictures from SOHO and in NASA that some people have interpreted as being a Planet X out there?
I have seen some things in various images. Sometimes they prove to be artifacts. It's hard to tell. My theory that is that Planet X will actually show up in the constellation of Taurus. It's part of an interesting cipher, I believe, I found in the Book of Revelation, if you're interested in hearing that. It's basically in Revelation, I think it was 2. It was Revelation 1 and 2. Jesus was talking about his letters to the churches. Now, the seven churches of Asia are actually seven churches that are clustered in the southwest corner of Asia Minor, which is modern-day Turkey. And David Flynn, who wrote a book, who, by the way, is suffering from some sort of a tumor I've just heard.
Yeah, I heard that.
So everyone please pray for him, for his recovery. If you
hey, Doug, hold on. Why don't you just hold on, because we're already at the bottom of the hour, so we'll come back with this part of the discussion, and we'll also take some phone calls with you when we come right back on Coast to Coast AM. I'm George Norrie. On our next Coast to Coast program, Split Show, we're going to talk about peak oil and also some of the world events. On Thursday, one of the greatest UFO events of mankind we'll be talking about on Coast to Coast AM. Back with more phone calls as we talk about Planet X on Coast to Coast. Doug, as you look at these Sumerian cylinder seals, they were absolutely riveting. You would have to conclude that they were talking about things that were celestial, and in most cases, some kind of visitation, wouldn't you?
Well, that's what they said. They said that the gods came down from the heaven and gave them their laws and their culture intact and handed them off and said, "You are our sheep, our cattle. We are your gods, and here are the laws, and this is what you must do to survive." And these beings were said to have come down from the stars in the sky, specifically the planets. And then one famous cylinder seal that Sitchin talked about, they even showed a collection of what appeared to be all nine planets, the sun and the moon, in one of the Sumerian cylinder seals. Some have said that was just a coincidence, but I assume you know what I'm talking about. It's kind of famous.
Mm-hmm.
It's basically in one of the seals. It shows a collection of what appears to be all the planets with a solar symbol in the middle of
right.
all of them.
And there's an extra one in there, right?
Yeah, and there's another one which would fit Planet X. And some people decided tried to say, "Oh, it's just coincidence." I mean, how can it be?
There are no coincidences.
They match up with the sizes of the planets and the number of them. How could it? And they're talking about the gods and the planets in the cylinder seal. So I don't know where's the mystery there. I'm not understanding it.
Let's go to the phones. Cornelius in Alexandria, Louisiana. Hi, Cornelius.
Hi, George and Doug. I want to God bless your call screen and all the viewers and listeners of Coast to Coast AM. You've got the best show in town, and I'm sorry I coughed. I didn't mean to cough. But anyway, George, we're good on that. My question, and I'm going to try to be as brief as possible. I was talking to Tommy about, I don't know if both y'all saw, but I know y'all keep up with science fiction and stuff. On NBC, they had The Event. And the last episode in The Event, they brought their home planet in the Earth's orbit or atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
And it caused earthquakes and stuff like that.
Yep.
So I just wanted to ask him, does he think that's going to be happening for us? And about the rapture, does he believe in the rapture, that the Christians are going to be pulled off? Personally, I don't believe in the rapture. I think we're all going to have to go through this, and we'll have to prove whether we're good or evil.
It definitely won't be October 21st, that's for sure.
But God bless you all, and thank you. And thank you, George, and y'all for praying for my mom. She's getting better and better.
Good. It works. It works. The planet, as it gets closer, disrupts things. What's the worst that could happen, Doug?
Well, if we're going to go by what the Book of Revelation says, there won't be a planet splitting disaster. I mean, Earth will survive. But if you're not prepared, you're probably going to be destroyed. And Jesus said, the meek shall inherit the earth. Probably those who are living in lowly circumstances and who don't live in large cities will probably survive okay. But the people who are used to luxury and high technology will probably do badly. And like any major cataclysm, like the Great Flood or any flood or any cataclysm, those who are living close to the land are more likely to survive than those who aren't. But regarding the rapture question, I am actually what do you call the seventh trumpeter rapture resurrection person. I believe that the Bible actually says, and it does, that the resurrection occurs at the seventh trumpet. As I think it's described in Revelation 14, Revelation 14, where the angels come down and actually reap the harvest of the earth. That is the resurrection. There's no pre-tribulational rapture. There's never, ever been any evidence for that concept. But I do think the Planet X may be intimately involved with that process, possibly as it passes by. There's an exchange between the planets, and the people who have taken Christ as their Savior will up, and those who don't and who have arrayed themselves for war against God will be destroyed.
Why keep all this a secret?
I tend to think of it. That's a very good question, actually. Why does it keep it a secret? Why not just make it obvious? Because it might be a test of faith. Maybe part of the psychology of the situation is how to react in a situation where we're unsure of our destiny. Also, there's a military aspect. If God is at war with these fallen angels, He wouldn't want to disclose any information to them because they're still, even though they're less powerful than He is, they're still very dangerous. And so the less information they have, the better.
All right, next up, let's go to Ray in Gilbert, Arizona, west of the Rockies. Ray, thanks for holding. Go ahead.
Hey, this is awesome. I'm talking to George Norrie. Hey, can you just talk about wormwood?
Well, I was going to ask you that. Wormwood is, of course, in the Book of Revelation. Is that the Planet X?
I don't think it's actually Planet X. What it sounds like to me is, and I mentioned this in my book at some length, it's a very interesting idea I had, is that when the primordial Earth was destroyed by Planet X originally, if there was any life on it, such as plant life, it would have been powdered and pulverized and flash frozen in space, where it would have adhered to various comets and asteroidal material that had been thrown up. And what I believe is happening in the Book of Revelation is some of this material is falling back onto Earth in a super concentrated kind of powdered form that once it hits the water table in the hydrosphere, precipitates out as rain. You basically have super concentrated plant life precipitating back into the water table. And I suspect some of this plant life may have been carcinogenic or even hallucinogenic in nature. I think that I was talking about there's a certain kind of spirit, which is somewhat hallucinogenic in nature, that comes from a certain type of plant. I could find the name for you, but I suspect that there's a comet or one or more asteroids that redeposits a lot of this ancient plant life back on Earth in a concentrated way, such that it reenters the water table, introducing a lot of hallucinogens into the system. And the wormwood, it's called absinthe, that's right. Absinthe is actually a liquor which is semi-hallucinogenic, and it's made from something called wormwood, which is actually a real thing, which is used to de-louse people.
Yeah, it is real.
Wormwood. So what I think, in a concentrated form, absinthe would cause delusions and hallucinations. I suspect something like this will happen in the end times when the wormwood is actually described as a great burning mountain or something like that, re-entering the Earth's atmosphere. In such a scenario, would explain why the waters would become poisoned and men would become sick, and then why they call it wormwood, because it's actually reintroducing Artemisia absinthium or wormwood back into the water table in a concentrated form.
Was there any mention of Planet X in Greek mythology?
You know, I'm not sure. There was a war of the giants of the Gigantomachy, and of course the Titanomachy, which is the war of the Titans against the gods in heaven. And the gods are always situated in heaven, and they always throw rocks back down on top of the giants, and the giants end up losing. But the gods are, like I mentioned earlier, are consistently associated with the planets, which is why to this day the planets are named after all the Roman deities. Before that, they were named after the Greek deities and so forth. But in ancient times, people believed that the gods of the various pantheons were associated with specific planets. And if Planet X did come around, probably the Greeks would have thought of it as Zeus, the planet, and Zeus lived on this planet. And his war with the giants, not unlike the war of Enlil against the Sumerians, when he destroyed them with fire from heaven, would have involved throwing down huge rocks and destroying the giants, who at that time apparently began to rebreed. So probably the Gigantomachy and Titanomachy in the Greek mythology are memories of the same events that happened to the Sumerians in a different part of the world, where huge asteroids rained out of heaven because of Planet X passing through the solar system and disrupting the asteroid belt and destroying the giants and all their works. And this happens every time. So in some of the more recent days, when giants were met by various explorers and interviewed, they said the only thing they were really afraid of was the sky falling on their heads, because it's such a regular occurrence. God uses basically giant rocks to attack the giants, and this is a consistent theme throughout the Bible and throughout ancient mythology.
All right, next up, Craig in Ohio, truck driving through. Go ahead, Craig.
Hey, thank you for taking my call, George.
Sure thing.
Little two for the horn.
Mm-hmm. You got it.
Truckers. All right. My question and kind of a little theory is, perhaps we have all the facts correct about what we believe is going to happen, and the Bible laid it out pretty good. But the deception part is the great deceiver. Maybe what we're being deceived about is our God, our planet, is the one that's trying to direct us to save us. You know, in the long run, it's about the planet's survival, not the human race. What do you think about that, sir?
So the planet is more important than the human race itself?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because life comes and goes, apparently, throughout the universe. Our planet is in a fight for its own survival.
That's an interesting idea. It could be that it does say in the end times, one of the seal judgments was that men will be attacked by wild animals, and there will be great roaring of the seas and great discomfort. It might be that there is something to that, that the spirits of the earth, the fallen angels, will fight against mankind using various natural means in order to defend what they consider to be their territory? That's a good question.
All right, take a few more calls here. We'll go to Tom in Indianapolis, first-time caller. Hey, Tom, thanks for holding.
George.
Hi.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thank you. George, long-time listener, a Catholic boy who searched for the truth like you did. I just turned into the King James Bible with vengeance.
Yep.
Basically, I think the time is so close. I've got a 344-page manuscript sitting here because I think the next week to 10 days is what's going to happen. So I've set it aside until that time passes. I think we are at that point of Magog. And unfortunately, Magog fights a group of people called those dwelling carelessly in the isles, etc. Interesting, Isaiah 19, the first phrase says, talking about Egypt, says, and I will ride a swift cloud. Clouds used 111 times in the Bible, but only once with the word swift. Ellen, ring a bell? Anyway, to my point, I heard you mention David Flynn's book, a great, great book. And, George, I heard him on your show, and I got the book. And I listen to all your shows, and it's funny the way truth pops up in different places by people looking for it. The other day, I heard John Hope make a comment. You're talking about the 2012 calendar, and he said, well, actually, it's the era 2012. It goes back to 1999-98. 1998 caught my eye because I looked it up, went in John Jenkins' article, another one of your visitors. We've heard all your shows, George. We really respect your search for the truth. We took another course, but we respect it very much.
Thank you.
It comes up that it's Jim and I, or the JPL Laboratory, said that the 12,000 mark, that the half cycle came around in early Gemini. Gemini starts May 21st. I hooked on to it because May 28, 1898 was the world famous photographs of the Shroud of Turin. Now, what's interesting is that they've also proven in the last 50 years with finds that the temple, which of course Dave Flynn wrote about, was destroyed in August the 9th, 587 BC. George, now hear me clearly.
I'm
everybody.
With you.
From August the 9th, 587 BC. To May the 28th, 1898, is 2,520 biblical years to the day. I've got a 16-page section on the book I'm sitting there looking at, waiting, because what I'm saying is this, 2,520 days of May 1898, that would have been 5,900 or 1,900. The calendar is off 2.5 years. That calendar proves it. I heard it from John Hogue, of all people. Okay, you go to May 1898, coming up here forward. It's May 1898 to May 28, 1967, was 70 biblical years. May 28th was when Ariel Sharon in his book said, we are going to have to go after Egyptians' air force. 10 days later, they took the city of Jerusalem. Didn't expect to get it. So the pivot point in history is the Shroud of Turin. Absolutely is true. Here's another funny thing. Globally, TP, I've got more research in this than anybody you can possibly imagine. I've got 40, but we don't have time for that. Globally, TP is sitting up there, and you've had people quote this on your show. It's about 20 miles from Edessa. Edessa is where they found the Shroud. It's interesting that Globally, TP has these big rocks around it. I believe it goes back to the 12 astrological signs, but they were amazed because they said it's about 8,000 years old because it doesn't have any water around. They're amazed right now to this day because they built the stones before they built the city. Edessa would have been the first place they would have gone to for water. And I prove in the book that Edessa is basically the city of Nahor.
Well, now, don't hold on here for a little bit, Tom, because you're going to eat up the rest of our time here with Doug. But the points you make are pretty darn right on, don't you think, Doug?
Interesting theories. I really did enjoy Temple at the Center of Time, and I believe he's correct. David Flynn's correct about his theories about the measurements being integral to the march of time, and really the Temple is kind of the microcosm of the universe itself. And so yeah, the idea that David had of nautical miles and statue miles and how they matched up with various points in history was brilliant and very insightful. Though I don't think he would take all the credit because he was basically kind of channeling Isaac Newton. He did a very good job of encapsulating many of the concepts in his book, and it's one of the better books to come out of the Christian world.
You don't think the planet is closer than some people say?
I think that It probably will, in order to be affect us in the next 10 years, it would have to be approaching the orbit of Jupiter or closer. So we may, and it will probably come from the southern hemisphere. That's the modern scientists believe that Planet X probably has a precessionary orbit. That is, it over time it kind of precesses against the angle, the ecliptic of plane of the rest of the planets. So not only does it go in and out of the solar system, and also the orbit also kind of like goes over and under the plane of the ecliptic of the other planets too. Right now, it apparently is coming from beneath. So those in the south will see it first. And I think the Book of Job actually alludes to this, the chambers of the south, Planet X approaching from the south. So we might not see it in the northern hemisphere until later. I think there was a southern South Pole Observatory that had some problems a few years back. Some people speculated that they had found Planet X, and they didn't want to reveal it. So there was actually some sort of a physical brawl down there, believe it or not. And that was the heart of a lot of conspiracy theories regarding Planet X and whether or not it had actually been discovered by the South Polar Observatory. So
I remember an article in the paper years ago that they might have found a Planet X. Let's get a Skype caller in, Ray, in Westbrook, Maine. Go ahead, Ray.
Hey, how you doing, George?
Good.
I don't know your guest name, and I apologize.
His name is Doug Elwell.
I'm sorry?
Doug Elwell.
Oh, Doug Elwell. Nice to meet you, Doug. Listen, I was on YouTube today, and there's a gentleman on there. He has a page. His name is Dabu7. And I was watching a video of this man that took, you know, this video in Wales. And he was actually showing another planet that was coming in on the left side of the sun. And as he was moving the camera around, you could see two lens flares from these objects, one from the sun and one from the other object that was coming in around the left of the sun. I couldn't believe it.
Well, I've seen that one, too. Doug, have you seen any of these other photos?
Yeah, there is a thing about the two suns going on around the Internet. I think it's mainly just optical illusions, but it's an interesting idea. Planet X would show up and be visible well before it met the opposite side of the sun.
Well, that's what so many people think as well. The name of the book, Planet X, A New Theory, by Doug Elwell. What about Comet Elenine? What's happening there? We'll be back.